So, Carrie, thank you, because I'm just about done. That was spot on. As this is not like a part of my talk, but as you were sharing, I just felt so compelled because I was so nervous to talk tonight. And then you said, wait, am I putting my identity and the things that people care? I'm talking about value tonight. And I'm nervous to share in front of you guys. So it's like, man, I'm not nervous anymore. Thank you. All right. This is going to be awkward, but we're doing it. I also like that no one sat in the front two rows because I spit a lot. It's great. Hello. I'm Enrique. My friends call me Reek because my wife loves the fact that my friends call me Reek. Just kidding. That's not the truth. So the title of this summer series is Out of Focus, and we're going to use this, we're taking some photography lingo, I'm not really good at the photography lingo, but we're taking it, and we're going to run with it. You know, there's this perfect image that God has given us, right? And it even says in Scripture that we are made in the image of God. We don't necessarily always act like it or look like it, and we don't see ourselves in that same manner. So we're going to go with that. Like, there's this beautiful picture that God has created for us. We are that beautiful picture. But then we allow ourselves, our emotions, the world, our friends, our family, to change that lens, and then we start to believe it, right? But that's not what our value is in. That's not who God has created us to be. So the way we're going to go about this, the rest of the series, is we're going to go through it looking at it the way a tree grows. Does that make sense? There's these roots, and then there's these fruits that the tree produces. The first root that we talked about was Sir David, and he talked about how God's love is constant. That's the good root. That's the root that we have to hold on to. That's the truth that we need every single day. God's love is constant. And then last week, Christian hit on the fact that if we aren't in that love, we start to feel that inadequacy. We start to feel less than. We become a part of what everyone else is thinking of us. As we go forward for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about how God's love determines our value, right? Where is that value coming from, and who says we're valued, all right? Let me pray for us really quickly and for myself, and we'll jump in. Jesus, we love you, God. God, I thank you that you have created us, that you've called us valued, and you've given us value. God, I pray that tonight, you would speak through me. God, I pray that we would notice and recognize the areas that we allow the world to speak into, and that you would help us to combat against that. God, we know you're faithful, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. All right. So I was in Virginia Beach a couple weeks ago, support raising, and I haven't been to my parents' house in, I don't know, since January. My mom said, let's go through your memories box. I didn't know I had a memories box. And it's like a giant bin. And we were going through this stuff. And so when I was a kid, I wasn't really like focused on school, but I was focused on the things that I wanted to be focused on. Like football, killed it. I mean, crushed it. Basketball, literally always had like the freshest shoes of all time. That's all I cared about. Baseball, all-star, one season. Killed it. Only because I was short and everyone walked me and I could, like, run fast. So I stole all the bases. That was my last time playing softball, or baseball. Yeah. And then we got to the bottom and there was these pieces of artwork that my mom kept. And they were, like, hideous. They were disgusting. Yeah. Yeah, the one in the middle is the best. Actually, yeah, so I was so embarrassed whenever I saw them. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Why did you keep that? Like, I grew up and I made better things. I know I made better things. But it's fun because I didn't just pull those from, what's it called? The internet. I have them with me. Just in case anyone wants to see and walk around, this is gonna be my art table. I brought them with me. I was like, Mom, this is embarrassing. Like, I have all these other cool things, but you kept this too because she found value in them. And I was like, nope, garbage. It's trash. I wouldn't have kept it. And so I realized my mom kept it because she found value in them because she valued me. And it was so funny, as I was walking with these things out of my house, my dad said, "Hey, don't lose or drop those or break those. Those are ours." I was like, "Okay, I'm not going to. It's okay." So then, I realized that every single day we go about determining things if they have value or if they're worthless. We do it all the time, regardless if we recognize it or not. Let's see. Yeah. Cool thing. I was thinking about these things that are valuable. The first thing that popped into my mind, I do this often, did a Google search. The most valuable things on earth. There was some jewelry, $23 million, a painting, $260 million, a Ferrari, $1 billion house in India. Yeah. And I was like, oh my goodness, that is extremely expensive. Maybe not extremely valuable. Extremely expensive. So then, this past couple weeks, I asked you guys, a couple of you, what you and how you would determine value. Some of the responses. Well, it's mostly circumstantial. It depends on what we're talking about. If it's useful or has a special memory tied to it. If I know that that thing has helped me help people. And it's important to understand that the things that we determine valuable are mostly things, right? We determine things valuable. And if we're not careful, we can be the thing that we determine unvaluable. Or is that a word? Or worthless. Yeah, we can be the thing we determine as worthless. So then let's consider, how do we find value? What says or who says we are valuable? Right? Is it the fact that we go to tech? Is it the fact that we have a great internship? Maybe internship with NLCF? Holla. We have a dream job lined up, right? All these things matter, but do they call us valuable? Are we valued in those things? I mean, I personally, my value changed consistently growing up. I mean, consistently. I remember I had value in my relationship with Morgan. That's where I got my value. Or if my path was lining up to where I was taking over my parents' company, and if it wasn't lining up right, I don't know. I was nothing. Surprise, I didn't end up taking over the company. I'm here. Excuse me. But then what happens if those things that we determine as valuable fall through, right? What happens when that happens? And what are we? Because then we can fall into that same thing that Christian was talking about and that Carrie shared about today. We can become inadequate if we don't live up to that value that someone else has given us, right? We can become worthless, dumb, falling short. Like, these are things that we can tell ourselves and the world can tell us if we allow this to become us. Bless you. But so, what the world says about us, the places that we fall short and the things that we don't do aren't the things that determine our value, right? Story time. A couple months ago, the staff was at, what's it called? Ecclesia. Yeah, it's a church conference. Yeah, the Ecclesia Church Conference. And we were at this sweet Airbnb. It was really cool. And there was some art on the walls. And I was like, this is it. I mean, when you guys look around at the staff, isn't the first thing you think? They want to talk about art. That's the first thing we did. We started talking about art. There's like these little circles. We would look at them. They were different, and everyone had their own opinion about them. And then we started talking about, wait, who says what is good art and who says what is bad art? And then it got to the point to where it was like, can art be subjective and or objective? I have a picture that's going to show that objectively good art right there. That is objectively good art.
That form is objectively good.
That's what I'm talking about. But something that's subjective is based upon someone's, excuse me, feelings, opinions, or perceptions, right? And a lot of times it's easy to see if something is subjectively good. For me, ice cream is subjectively good. It's kind of scary because I'm lactose intolerant and there's consequences with it. but still subjectively good. For Morgan, chips, anything salty, that's her thing, subjectively good. That's not for me. But that's our opinions on these two different things. So people have their opinions about everything, every single day. And the truth is, they also have their opinions about you. And so society has created this mold for you to fit in because you have to fit into it. But to call something objectively good means it has to be backed by truth. It's facts. So then we're looking at how we're valued. What's the truth about us? And I was thinking about as I was writing this, okay, someone named something weird in the past. I don't know what it is, but okay, I'll just take this for example. Someone called this a chair. Who called it a chair? Whoever created it called it a chair. So then if we're going to look at ourselves, we have to look at the one that created us and what they call us, right? Not as someone else's subjective opinion. And what God said about us is that you're not subjective art. The truth is that the God that created the heavens and the earth, the God that created absolutely everything, created you. And it's not out of his ownership, but it's his desire to be in a deep love relationship with you. You know, Genesis 1 says God saw all he made, and it was very good. God made you. God said you are very good. So regardless of what anyone may say about you or whatever you may think about yourself, God said you are very good. And the love that God has for you goes beyond just his creation, but it gives us worth in the sacrifice through Jesus Christ. It gives us worth. So 2 weeks ago was our challenge at Engage Group to memorize Scripture, Romans 5:8. Right? Woo! Someone did it. It says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But today I want to go a little deeper, just like a tad bit deeper, and we're going to start at verse 6. It says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. But God, oh, nope, that's not it. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Paul here is recognizing that we, regardless of how Christ-centered we may think we are or how perfect we think we are, we may not be as perfect as we think. Right? He says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might choose to die. So then I started thinking, who would I die for? Would I die for Morgan? Absolutely. Sure would. Would I die for you guys? There's a good chance. Would I die for some evil person on the other side of the world? To be honest, that's a hard question. But Jesus did. Why? Why would he do that? Why would Jesus die for some evil person on the other side of the world? Because he valued them. So regardless of how far off we may think we are, or this terrible view that we have of ourselves, God values you regardless of anything. So tomorrow, if you wake up and you do better than you did today, or you do worse than you did today, the love that God still has for you has never changed and it never will. So the reality is that our value is not determined. The reality is that our value is not dependent on the things we do. It's not dependent on the things we plan to accomplish. Nor is it dependent on the things people think about us. Our value is solely dependent on the love God has for us and the sacrifice Jesus made to be in relationship with us. You were created out of love and valued out of the Creator's love for you. So you were created out of love and valued out of the Creator's love for you. So then what can we do in order to pursue this value that God's given us? One, let's choose to challenge ourselves to believe truth every single day. And that can look differently for everybody. You can take a sticky note or post-it note and put it on your car, maybe not on the outside. You can put it in your room, in your bathroom, anywhere that you'll see that and you'll bump into this truth. You can change your background on your phone, your laptop, right? But choosing to believe this truth combats against the lies that we tell ourselves and the lies that the world has to say about us. Number two, this may sound repetitive, but it's the discipline of repetition. you know how, so like there's these fancy cameras. I just think about this because Kyle's had his camera out a lot. These fancy cameras, and you have to like do the lens to get it into focus. And you don't always get it right the first time, but then after a couple tries, you get it right, and you can see like 3 million miles away. It may take time, but it's that repetition that's going to help us to see the value that God has for us and to see the value that we should have for ourselves as well. So this week, I want to encourage you to go through Romans 5. Maybe 5, maybe 6 through 8. But this discipline of repetition has to become a discipline so that we can hang on to truth. Three, look for ways you can find value in the people around you. Now, not our own personal definition of value, because it's like, I love Morgan because she cooks good eggs or something. I don't know. I do love Morgan. But not because of that, but because of the way that God values us. And we should see other people in that same light. And it may take time to get, it may take effort that's maybe uncomfortable. But take the time to get to know the people around you, to value them better, to show them the love of Christ, because that's what we're doing. And fourth, spend time in silence. This has been a new discipline for me. At first, it was awkward because I felt like I needed to say something and pray. You don't necessarily have to. Sit in silence. Like Christian hit on this last week when he was talking about Sabbath. It's that ceasing to strive for anything. And when you sit in silence, you can't really accomplish too much except for sitting in the presence of God. And there's so much power in that, and you recognize the love the Father has for you when you're in the middle of doing absolutely nothing. Then it's like, man, I'm loved. All right, so to close, I just want to take a look back and admire some of my awesome artwork. This one's my favorite. I thought his tail was going to fall off the other day, but didn't. I actually didn't make this one. This one's my brother's. It's just ugly enough for me to bring because, yeah, I think I told him to listen out for this. The rest of it's mine. But yeah, let's take a look at it. The cool thing, maybe not the cool thing, but the sad thing is whenever I was the age that we made these, I didn't necessarily know that my father loved me. You know, the time was different then. We didn't know Christ. Our lives were drastically different. But whenever I was walking out with these, he said, don't lose or break those. Those are ours. It was a reminder to me of the Father's love for me. And a reminder that I need to hang on to truth, even when I don't feel it. To know the fact that I'm valued, even though I don't feel it. Because knowing the truth and feeling the love of God are two separate things, but knowing the truth is something that we can pursue every single day. Whenever I walked out with that, my dad said, don't lose or break those are ours. A couple days later, I started crying. I hope I don't start crying now. But I feel like that's the Father's cry for us as well. As we look around to the people around us, the value that God has for us, he says, don't lose or break those are ours. So as you look at the people around you and the value that God has for them, he says, don't lose or break those are ours. But when we're in the midst of these trials and the stuff that's coming against us that really, really sucks, that we can't feel the value that we have for ourselves, or someone wants to say, you're not worth this enough, remember the Father saying to you, I won't lose or break you. Because you're mine. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you, God. Thank you for finding value in us. God, thank you for claiming us as worth it. God, I know that there's nothing more or nothing less that I can do to gain more or less of your love. But you've created me, you know me, and you value me simply because I'm yours. So God, I pray that as we hold on to the truths that you speak over us, that we would recognize the value that you have for us simply because of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.